On Tech News Today, Oculus updates their virtual reality headset for developers. Is the consumer product virtually here? Plus, Microsoft delays the Xbox One in China. The Chinese government blocks the world's most popular privacy search engine. And new details are leaking out of Korea about Samsung's next smartwatch. All that and more coming up right now.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today from Monday, September 22nd, 2014. This episode is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com. Get 5% off your first purchase by entering the code TNT when you check out. And by Citrix ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with Citrix ShareFile. Try ShareFile today. For a 30-day free trial, go to sharefile.com. Click the microphone and enter TNT. Tech News Today is the show where we talk about the tech news with the journalists who report it. Welcome to the show. I'm Mike Elgin. And good morning to you and happy Monday, Jason.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Oh, that smile's all about the Monday.
Jason likes the Monday.
Don't ask me why. Maybe I drank too much coffee this morning.
I don't believe it. Coffee always helps. Well, speaking of Monday, it is Lindsay Turrentine Day here at Tech News Today. Welcome to you, Lindsay Turrentine.
Thank you.
So, Lindsay,
another reason I love Mondays too.
That's it. There you go.
Yeah. So, speaking of coffee, which Jason brought up because he's a little bit of an addict, there's been a new study, a survey of some kind of like 10,000 professionals that found that of all the professionals, journalists drink the most coffee. Do you believe that?
I do. I'm just curious about why they didn't ask about whiskey.
Huh.
I think they also probably drink. It's a cycle.
You know, the problem is that the whiskey drinking journalists just don't fill out survey forms. It's just hard to get them to pay attention.
Or they don't fill out the survey forms until after they drink their coffee.
That's right. Exactly. That's the only way you can get them to do surveys. Well, let's jump right into the news. Facebook's Oculus VR unveiled a new prototype for its virtual reality headset. It's called the Crescent Bay and includes 360-degree head tracking and other really cool new features. Addie Robertson writes for The Verge, and Sebastian Anthony writes for Extreme Tech, and they're both joining us today. Welcome to both of you.
Hi.
Let's start with you, Addie. Is this for the developers only? And if so, how do they get one?
I couldn't say how they get one. It is for developers, but it's not like the DK2 or the DK1 that were officially released and you could buy them. I get the feeling they're just going to give these to people that they want to develop games. It's, as far as I know, not planned to turn into an actual product that you'll be able to buy.
So we heard about 360-degree head tracking. Is this, Sebastian, what is that? What is the 360-degree head tracking let you, what is different?
So basically, before, if you see the little white dots on the head-mounted thing, that allows an external camera that you see on the wall to track your head as you move around. And basically, in the previous version, it could only track the front of the headset. And now, due to the little white dots on the back of the headset that you can see, you can now turn around. But as you can also see in the video, you're still tethered to a leash. So it's not you're still kind of a bit stuck. In that regard,
it could be that they don't want people wandering off with their headset, Sebastian, one of the complaints about this is the lack of handheld controls or other controls. Do you think that they're going to get it together and have something like that in response to the not user demand, because there are no users, but like to the demand of journalists and developers?
Well, this is the thing with virtual reality, as anyone knows if they've been following computers for more than 20 years. Virtual reality has always been like on the verge of coming to the forefront, but so far no one has really implemented it properly. And there is just something about having this big thing on your face and being tethered to a wall and not being able to see any of your environment and not having any kind of controls in your hand. It's an odd proposition. The controller is kind of, it's not the ideal solution, but it is a solution to this whole, difficulty of virtual reality in its current form.
Now, this prototype added earphones for the first time, and it seems like that's something that could help add to this the immersiveness and not make it so jarring. Addie, is there anything more you can tell us about how Oculus is dealing with audio right now?
So audio has always been a really big part of good VR. Oculus, so far, I mean, the headphones are nice, but the main thing about it is just that this very heavily incentivizes actually using good 3D sound. Some of the absolute best VR experiences that people really love, like the 360-degree Beck concert, their whole thing is that they can really make you feel like you're there by giving you great audio cues.
So Addy, everybody, you know, we talked about this controller thing, and of course, we've seen attempts to integrate the Leap Motion controller into the front of it. That this is something that that they did in a partnership. That seems to be the solution to the controlling thing. And as far as I'm concerned, you have virtual controls that appear on the screen, and you control them with your virtual hands that you can see thanks to this Kinect-like feature. Are there tools like that for the developers, or are people working on that kind of stuff? How integrated is the Leap Motion controller exactly into this, or that sort of technology? Is this what's going to be coming out in the final version, do you think?
I couldn't say anything about the final version, although I get the feeling that they're not going to add too many big qualitative things. The Leap Motion, it actually does come with a sort of device for mounting it to the front of an Oculus Rift. And I've tried some Leap Motion games. The problem is just that it's really not very precise right now, and that it probably isn't going to be good for everything. Like, if Oculus stressed one thing during Kinect, and like John Carmack especially, it's that there isn't one single good input device for VR. That, you know, you might want a gun for shooting, you might want a hand for pointing, you might want a keyboard, because eventually you're going to have to actually type something in. So the problem is just that there's not really a one-size-fits-all thing at this point, it seems like.
Now,
Go ahead, Lindsay. Sorry, Mike. I'm asking the perennial question. How long do we think it'll be until people can buy this?
They've listed, they want to release it next year. That's always been their listed date. This new prototype definitely goes a long way towards making like a consumer-ready device. They haven't given us an exact date, and I'm sure the Facebook acquisition might have moved things around a little bit. Their work with Samsung as well. You know, it seems like they started off wanting to produce a consumer-ready VR headset, and they're realizing that there's a bit more work to be done in that area, and there's other, you know, you have to get the developers on board, you have to get the games on board, you have to maybe do a controller as well. I don't think they thought about all these things when they first started. You know, it was more just, it's been 30 years. Why isn't VR here? Let's do some VR. And the technology is finally here now. Like, it's ready. It's now the implementation. And in technology, there's often lots of bad implementations.
Technically speaking, you'll be able to buy the Gear VR later this fall.
Consumers will be able to.
Technically not a consumer edition. It's technically some kind of beta, but it's much closer to something that consumers can and will want to buy. And it's coming up very near from now.
And possibly from other companies. Oculus announced that they would open source the Rift DK1 design. Addy, why would they do that? And does this mean that their business model is not going to be about making a lot of money off of selling physical headsets?
Well, it sounds like they've never really wanted to make a lot of money at first. They've talked a lot about trying to get the Rift down to the absolute lowest consumer cost. I think one of the things about the DK1 is that really it's not very hard to make. Like, the design of the DK1 is not entirely different to the design of like Google Cardboard, which is just a big cardboard box with lenses in it. Like, they hand them out as party favors. I think a lot of it's just that Oculus kind of thinks that it's way far ahead of everyone else with technology, with the DK2 and now Crescent Bay.
Interesting. Well, Addy Robertson is at TheVerge.com, and you can find her on Twitter at TheDextriarchy. What is TheDextriarchy? What does that mean?
Oh, it's a joke from college. It's like the patriarchy, but for right-handed people, because I'm left-handed.
I see. Well, we right-handed people are going to try keeping you down. My wife is left-handed as well, so it's an ongoing problem in our house. But anyway, you can follow her at TheDextriarchy on Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us, Addy.
Thank you.
All right, Sebastian Anthony. Anthony is at Extreme Tech, and you also write for PCMag.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And you can follow him at Mr. Seb on Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us, Sebastian.
Thanks.
All right. In just a sec, we're going to hear about another gaming system, an Xbox One news story. But first, I want to tell you about a new sponsor of Tech News Today, and that is Harry's. Harry's solves a big problem, which is that razors aren't very good oftentimes, and they tend to be super, super expensive. We're going to Jason, can you kick over to this view now? What we're looking at here is what you get in the mail when you order Harry's. It's a by mail shaving kit with really high quality stuff at extremely affordable prices. So you get a really nice razor in there like this. This is like some awesome shaving cream that it smells nice and it's like really, really cool. And then, of course, you get some additional razors there. And again, this is a solution to the problem. Now, one of the founders was one of the founders of Warby Parker, and Warby Parker had a similar situation. Glasses were super expensive, and they didn't need to be, so Warby Parker made them much more affordable and easier to use, and the same goes for Harry's. Super easy to get your shaving stuff in the mail as well. And of course, if you go to the store, for example, it costs about $4 per razor for Procter & Gamble's Gillette Fusion. And over time, these costs are extremely high and they just really, really add up. So the two founders of Harry's, Andy and Jeff, decided to give shaving a new experience, both from the buying experience and also from the shaving experience. And they have high quality blades that are made in their own factory in Germany. Super high quality stuff at very, very low prices. So if you just go to harrys.com and this happens to be the Winston set. It's very, very nice. Just comes to your door. It's very pleasant. It's a great consumer experience. So just go to harrys.com. That's harrys.com. Use a promo code TNT and you get $5 off your first purchase. That's a lot of money because this is a very low cost. This is a very low-cost product. That's harrys.com, promo code TNT. And we thank Harry's for their support of Tech News Today. Well, Lindsay, it looks like the Xbox One has been delayed, at least in China.
That's right. Microsoft was due to release the Xbox One in China on Tuesday and has said now that it's delaying that launch until sometime before the end of the year because it wants to make sure that it gets it right and deliver the best possible gaming experience, which is a little bit of a vague reason. They're going ahead with a launch party tonight in Shanghai, and they're giving away 100 Xbox Ones to people who are attending that party. Here to talk about this delay and maybe why it's happening is Dean Takahashi, who's a lead writer for VentureBeat and GamesBeat. Hi, Dean. How are you?
Good morning.
What do you think the reason is behind this delay? Do you think it is really just to get it right?
Well, it is very unusual, and it's sort of a reminder that anything can happen in the Chinese market. Back in July at the China Joy Show, where Microsoft was showing the Xbox One off to 250,000 fans, they had some surprise visits from the government of China, government officials who had a lot of questions about what kind of content they were going to be launching. And so they had to cancel a bunch of meetings at China Joy at the last minute. I actually had some interviews scheduled with Microsoft people, and they canceled them when I arrived at the interviews. So that kind of thing seems to happen a lot in China, and this may be one of the things that has sort of tripped them up again. I don't know for sure. It could be anything, though.
It's a bit of a mystery, and of course, the iPhone 6 was delayed. This is one of the biggest consumer products ever launched, and the Chinese government delayed the approvals that were necessary for it to be sold within the Chinese market. What are the chances that this is being delayed by the Chinese government as well? Because, of course, Microsoft is one of the targets of the Chinese government's ongoing opposition to American technology companies.
They did launch an antitrust investigation against a fresh one against Microsoft just like about a week before the China Joy Show in July, and so that's an ongoing investigation, and you never know whether that is the reason for it or not, or otherwise console launches are very difficult undertakings as well, and that there are a lot of logistics questions that have to be dealt with, a lot of details. They are planning, they did say that they are planning to launch well beyond the Shanghai market, which is sort of their initial focus, and they're going to launch in 4,000 retail locations in 37 cities across China. So it is a very big undertaking, and this could also be the reason why they're just pushing it back a little.
So Microsoft is partnering with a local entertainment company called Best TV in China. What does a company like that, a partner company, do for Microsoft? Is part of their role to get past these regulatory hurdles? What kinds of infrastructure do they provide?
That is sort of an open question. I mean, they already manufacture the Xbox One consoles in China. And so sometimes American companies are required to find a Chinese partner just to manufacture something in China. But since they are already making it in China, it's not clear exactly why they had to have a partner. But almost always American companies going into China have to have a domestic partner to somehow help them navigate the launch. Best TV is a choice here. I don't know what they bring. There is an emphasis on creating local Chinese content, and someone like Best TV can help round up the game companies to do that with Microsoft, as well as some of the entertainment or educational companies. I think the Chinese regulators will like this better if they can also launch it with some kind of educational content, because that was the big hang-up for 15 years about launching game consoles in China, and that was that the government officials feared it would corrupt youth.
I'm sure it will. And what kind of mind share does Xbox and Microsoft have within China among gamers? Do you think that the Xbox has a chance of being a dominant console within China?
Well, a market researcher, Nyko Partners, believes that there are already something like 5 million consoles in the Chinese market that are just being operated illegally. So Microsoft has been there, whether they liked it or not, and with machines that were illegally shipped into the Chinese market. So I think they're pretty well known. They are advertising everywhere in China right now. Like at the China Joey Show, they had green logos of Xbox One splashed everywhere. I think they have a fighting chance because the brand has been established. The Xbox brand has been established for a very long time now.
Dean Takahashi writes at VentureBeat.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Dean Talk. That's DeanTak. Thank you so much for joining us, Dean.
All right, thank you.
The privacy-oriented search engine DuckDuckGo has been blocked in China by the Chinese government. Yet another block by the Chinese government. Barry Schwartz wrote about the news for his blog, The Search Engine Roundtable, as well as for Search Engine Land. He joins us now. Welcome to you, Barry.
Thanks for having me.
Now, before we get into the news, can you explain what DuckDuckGo is and how it works?
So DuckDuckGo is a small search engine created by Gabriel Weinberg, which their whole marketing gimmick behind the whole thing is that they don't share their data with anybody. It's a private search engine. They don't store the data for marketing purposes, unlike Google and Yahoo and Bing that might use that data for obviously selling ads and all other stuff. So their thing is like, we're not going to go ahead and use your data for any purpose. It's a completely private search engine.
So it seems like DuckDuckGo, DuckDuckGo is a tiny name. It doesn't have a lot of mind share. Do we know why it was blocked?
Yeah, I suspect because just iOS 8 was released last Wednesday, and iOS 8 includes DuckDuckGo as one of the default search options for users. So now if you have a new iPhone or you have iOS 8, and upcoming in the new Safari, the new release of the next operating system for Mac, they are going to offer that as an option for users to actually search with. So instead of using Google, Yahoo, Bing, DuckDuckGo is going to be one of the default search options people could use, and thus it's going to get more market share.
Now, the assumption is that the Chinese government will just approve the sale of the iPhone 6 and that this DuckDuckGo ban will be temporary and eventually they'll open it up. And they're really, if those predictions are true, then Chinese consumers will be able to talk to each other completely or mostly beyond the reach of the Chinese government. Is that something the Chinese government's ever going to allow, do you think?
I doubt it. They're pretty good at restricting users from using the internet in their ways. So I can't imagine that being something that the Chinese government will allow. I just can't imagine that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Barry Schwartz is at SEORoundtable.com and also RustyBrick.com. What is RustyBrick.com, Barry?
Rusty Brick is my web development company. That's what I spend most of my time doing. We do mobile and web apps.
Okay, wonderful. And you can also follow Barry at Rusty Brick. Thank you so much for joining us, Barry.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Lindsay, it looks like Samsung, the king of having lots and lots of smartwatches, is coming out with yet another, if one report is to be believed.
Yeah, we're hearing reports that Samsung might unveil a smartwatch with its own simple payment system as early as probably the March timeframe next year during Mobile World Congress. An executive at Samsung explained in a quote to Business Korea that the company is partnering with PayPal and a company called Synaptics to trigger payments through a fingerprint reader. And the solution, you know, this will be right on the heels of probably the Apple Watch launch, right in that time frame. Samsung's very good at positioning itself to come head to head with Apple. It'll be interesting to see what this payment system actually looks like.
It's interesting to me because the Korea market, of course, both LG and Samsung are Korean companies, and Korea has been very far ahead in the terms of mobile phone payments. And there are other markets, of course, that are super far ahead in mobile phone payments, but that's one of them. And the U.S. has always been a laggard in that space. And it's interesting that Apple was able to announce what looks like a very solid and what will probably be a widely used mobile payment system through a smartwatch before Samsung did. But it is curious to see how they'll come about, what they'll come up with in terms of enabling mobile payments from a watch. But I would have expected this from Samsung long ago. And doesn't Samsung have a smartphone version of mobile payments? I mean, this is the type of company that always gives you everything under the sun for their smartphones. What do they have in terms of smartphone payment systems?
Their payment systems vary depending on the location. So they have established connections in Korea, like you said, but they're working with PayPal, which actually does not work in Korea. So it sounds like what Samsung's doing here is trying to build out a network to dominate or to compete directly against Apple in the U.S. market. That's my guess. The U.S. wasn't specifically named, but there were dozens of countries apparently that this system will work in. And I can imagine that Samsung is trying to position itself to work in the U.S. and then work in other places with this watch-based system, which, you know, it could be kind of handy.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we have to wait until Samsung really announces something, because when we got the Apple announcement, what we got was, here's a watch, here's a system that also works with our smartphone, here are all the financial company partners that we've lined up, here are the retailers that we've lined up, including Disney and others. It was a complete package that they had obviously been working on for several years to get widespread adoption that involves buy-in from technology companies, you know, the point of sale, cash register type companies, the app developers. They got so much widespread. And then here we're just hearing a rumor that Samsung is working on a watch that enables this. But one of the things that I think is really fascinating about this is the possibility of a fingerprint reader in a watch. I was, you know, kind of pegged it at about 15 or 20% chance that Apple would announce a smartwatch with a fingerprint reader in it. And they didn't, of course. They have lots and lots of advanced features in the Apple Watch, but a fingerprint reader wasn't one of them. So I think that's a compelling use case. I actually think that a fingerprint reader in a watch, if you can pull it off, is a great idea, at least a very convenient thing if you can do it right. So we'll have to wait for the Samsung announcement to see what their actual plans are. But so far, I would guess that it's not going to be as broad in scope as the Apple launch. And by the time they do get this out there, I think they're going to be pretty far behind in terms of lining up relationships and so on. On the other hand, the fact that Apple has already gotten lots of companies to buy into their system, that could actually pave the way for Samsung and many other companies to come along.
Well, sure. PayPal is probably working extremely hard on keeping itself relevant given the Apple announcements. And so PayPal probably has a huge interest in making this work and finding different partners to continue to stay out in front of the public and be useful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in just a minute, we're going to do some follow-ups, including a little bit of information about the upcoming Nexus tablet. But first, I want to tell you about ShareFile. I don't know about you, but I've been noticing lately that files just keep getting bigger. Pictures keep getting bigger. Lots of more video flying around. I find myself always grappling with these gigantic files. People are finding that no matter how much storage they get on their smartphone, it's getting gobbled up by all the media that they're creating, whether it's music or videos or whatever. And so you need a way to send big videos, and something we're all grappling with, especially with the iPhone 6 launch and the Android phones that are coming out that have very, very high pixel counts. So the solution, of course, is ShareFile, one of our sponsors today. ShareFile is a great company because it's super, super, super easy to send gigantic files. And I'm not talking about half a gig or a gig or 2 gigs. I'm talking about 7, 8 gigabytes files, gigantic files, high def movies that you can send super easily. Why? Because you simply upload to the cloud. The performance of their cloud servers are very high, and then you send a secure link. That link keeps you in control and keeps you connected to that file even after you sent it, which is very, very great. You can say, okay, you know what? This can be downloaded only once. And once it's been downloaded, it cannot be downloaded again. That's a really secure way to send a file. It can also notify you when that file has been downloaded so that you know what's happening with the file. You know that, you know, the other person never downloaded it. And that's good information to know. And of course, it's so secure that if you have any sort of financial information or any sort of personal files, you really want to send them via ShareFile. Email is not a secure way to send things unless you're just sending links that are secure like the ShareFile way. So sign up today for a 30-day free trial. No obligation at all. Just go to ShareFile.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and enter TNT. Remember, that's ShareFile.com and type in TNT. Well, Google chose HTC to make its upcoming 9-inch Nexus tablet, according to the report in the Wall Street Journal. That's good to know. They're kind of mixing it up and keeping their Nexus companies they always use different companies, and that sort of keeps any one company from sort of dominating that space. Also, Apple reportedly sold more than 10 million iPhone 6 and 6 Plus handsets over the weekend, about a million more than the combined sales of iPhone 5S and 5C last year. What's impressive about that is that China wasn't involved in the iPhone 6 launch, but the iPhone 5 phones were. That's not to say that China wasn't a factor in these high sales. The report suggests that a huge number of people buying iPhone 6s in the U.S. and elsewhere were doing so for sale into the Chinese black market. Demand is huge in China because the Chinese government is holding up approval of the phone. And what we're looking at now is a little documentary that somebody created about the number of people within New York City who are clearly buying phones for the black market. This camera guy followed them off the line after they purchased the phone and watched them sell it with cash to somebody who was like lurking in the alleys and so on. Really interesting film. But what do you think about this, Lindsay? How do they smuggle these things into China in such large numbers? There seem to be always so many black market sales of iPhones when they're not going on sale at the same time in China.
I wish I knew. If I knew how they smuggled them in, I'd probably have a great job in like the State Department. But, you know, I think what's interesting about this is that by blocking the sale of the iPhone, China's creating even more demand. And it's a great marketing ploy for Apple in the long run, honestly.
Yeah, it is. And they're probably getting a lot of news within China about how this sort of black market thing is going on. I'm sure the prices are astronomical. I'm going to be looking for reports on what people are actually paying for iPhones right now.
Yeah, and there's so much new wealth in China that I'm sure that there are so many people who can pay those prices. Who can pay $2,000, $3,000 for a new iPhone.
Absolutely. Well, our TNT fan of the day is Kevin Kelly in Dublin, Ireland, who posted this picture in our Google Plus community. He says that when he gets home from college, TNT is just starting, so he tunes in and gets the day's tech news. He watches it on his Mac Mini, and he always has Twitter open to go along with it. And there is his setup. Pretty cool. Pretty, pretty cool. So how do you watch or listen to TNT? Just take a picture of your setup and post it on Google Plus, Twitter, or Facebook, and use the hashtag, #HowDoIWatchTNT. That's yet another hashtag. This is the last hashtag. This is where I'm going to settle on, because this is the one that everybody started using sort of organically, and we had a quick conversation online about this, and this is the one everybody prefers. So it's #HowIWatchTNT. That is the new hashtag. Well, that is the tech news today. Lindsay Turrentine, thank you so much. And I always look forward to Mondays when you're here, because you are an awesome co-anchor.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
All right. We'll see you next Monday.
All right.
All righty.
Bye.
Subscribe to Tech News Today. You can do it on multiple sites, including iTunes, Feedly, Yahoo, RSS, lots of options. Choose your favorite at twit.tv/TNT. You can also follow us on Twitter at Tech News Today TV. Send us your thoughts and opinions. And if you have any story ideas, if you have any show ideas, if you'd just like to comment on one of our stories, just send email to TNT at twit.tv, or you can call us at 260 TNT Show. And don't miss our evening newscast, Tech News Tonight, at 4 p.m. Pacific tonight and every weeknight right here on the TWiT Network. My name's Mike Elgin. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. Nice.